You were talking last hour, Tim.
Trying to help these people that just need help.
About the Frederick County Board of Education's meeting last night.
I always talk about the Frederick County Board of Education's meeting. I'm in awe.
An armchair Thursday quarterback. That's what you are.
That's me. I'm armchair Thursday afternoon quarterback. Give me somebody to know something. Oh, Brad. Good afternoon. I set you up pretty good there, Brad.
You did.
All right. What say you, brother? By the way, I do
eat animals.
Yeah, amen. God bless you.
I'm having a nice juicy steak tonight.
Now you're talking, I'll be there. But anyhow.
I moved. You don't know my address.
You forgot what I do for other living, Frank. Brad.
That's right, Mr. Investigator.
There you go. All right. Now, you called to talk about your brother's run for mayor, right?
No.
I'm just picking. And here's your answer. I can't help him. I live in Walker.
Well enough for himself.
Well, I know. Before you get started.
I was enjoying it.
Mr. Brad, what do you think of the idea of a statue downtown
for Dad
to honor Ron Young's tenure as mayor?
I think it's overdue.
I do, too.
I think it's a great idea.
Count me in.
Downtown Frederick would not be what it is without his vision and his commitment and without his working to get the funds to do the creek. And a lot of people that are newer just don't realize
they have no idea
happened overnight.
Right.
Yep.
Count me in.
Good. Just want to get that out of the way.
On the committee helping to get that put together.
All right. Good. Count me in. All right. You called because you are a member, former president of the Board of Frederick County Education, or Frederick Board of Frederick Education. I'm trying to say, you see, I'm a graduate. But anyhow,
Brad, get you some GED, Tim.
So tell me more. The meeting was held, and somebody threw out this number, August 9th.
Right. So we have a calendar committee, which consists of members of staff, members of the public, member of the board, students, that's asked to put together a calendar that's the most conducive for the education of our students. And so they meet for a couple months, and they know all the parameters. There's certain parameters you can't change, like there's required days that the state says you're closed between Christmas Eve and New Year's, day before and Good Friday and Easter Monday, and certain ones, certain holidays, they require you be closed, and so we have to be closed those days. We also have, I think one of your callers was trying to, 180 school days.
Correct.
Not 150. And that's mandated by the state, not the federal government.
Right.
And so we have 180 school days and 190 teacher days. And so they work to come up with a schedule, and they bring that schedule back to the board. A number of years ago, the board, we got a lot of complaints that the beginning part of the year was very broke up a lot of partial weeks, which had to do with you have Labor Day, we had Fair Day, we had Jewish holidays, we had teacher days, and it seemed like there was a lot of non-congruent weeks at the beginning of the school system, and the board asked to put together a schedule that had more weeks of school together, and that's when they started moving it back a little bit more. The other issue that the board talked about was the fact that we don't get to set the dates that AP tests are given and some of the assessments that are given. And in many cases, if you go to Arizona or Texas, they start school the first week of August. And those kids have much more educational days in before some of these tests than our students do here. And so it was asked.
How do we level up against Texas as far as our students versus Texas students?
Well, again, I would say we do pretty well. Now, again, I'm talking about certain things. I'm not talking about AP test scores and things of that nature. And again, I would want some statistics, and I asked for that the other night to say, what's the documentation that the additional days has resulted in a positive impact on these performance of these students on these tests? And I would like to see that, to see if it does. And so the other thing that came up is we have so many students today that are doing dual enrollment at Frederick Community College, and so the new schedule is trying to intend to line up those schedules so that they end up, we had a couple years ago where the FCC students ended their semester 3 weeks before we did. So you had kids sitting there for 3 weeks after their class had been completed through FCC. And so trying to recognize that Frederick County has the largest number of dual enrollment students in the state of Maryland.
Beautiful.
Because we have such a great community college.
Best
and
in
a
the
great
world.
Relationship between our school system, greatest in the universe.
That's right. I'm sorry.
So, anyway,
you know what? That
was another factor.
Brad, I don't know if I remember well, and I don't think he's Tim is that familiar with the advanced placement. But I think if you've had if you have a senior in school, you know, or recently did, this is a big deal for senior students, and this expands the amount of time they can prepare.
Here's the point I have.
One of the facts that was brought up was that before the change, there was 52 days of instructions in the spring semester before the AP tests were given. Under the new schedule, there's 72 days, so an increase of roughly 20% of time was given so that more students would have much more time in the classroom to master those subjects before they took those tests. And you're right, if they get a 4 or 5 on those tests, it can mean that they can opt out of that class in college and save a lot of money. And so that is a consideration.
Now, a couple of questions for you, Brad.
Yeah.
First of all, can I indulge upon you to stay on after the short break? You're up at a break.
My hourly rate's not that high. I'll stay on.
I know that. I've seen you, and I really appreciate you. We said we'd pay you what you're worth. You said you wouldn't work that cheap. We're coming right back. 4:30 in the afternoon. Brad Young from the... Brad, thank you for holding. I appreciate that, and the check's in the mail.
You're quite welcome.
And we were in the middle of discussing the reasons at your Board of Education meeting, why the concept came up of starting as early, the school year as early as August 9th.
And you
just
gave,
to recap, if you're just tuning in.
And you gave some great reasons. Now, why are the AP tests dictated to us when they're going to give them rather than when we want to accept them?
Because they're given by a national entity that decides when those dates are, and we're told when they are. We don't have any input into those dates.
Are there other entities that you could have instead of the ones that we have?
Unfortunately not. AP is the one that drives the major college credit from high school programs in our country, and so it's and again, that doesn't affect all students, but we do have a disproportionately high level of students to take AP courses in Frederick County, and so it is something that's important to a lot of students. And so, and it's just one factor. I mean, certainly I enjoy summer as much as anybody else. The key is, in the end, this actually will get students out of school in May.
Yeah.
And they'll have as much time in the summer as they had before. It'll just be different days.
Well,
June and July.
Yeah, well, my point was, it has to do with aligning the calendar, then why not start school October 1st? When there would be no break, and you could still go up there, and you'd have plenty of time in front of everything, right?
Well, you couldn't get 180 days in between October. You'd be going to school into July.
Right. You'd go through June. There's enough time between October to June, end of June, is the same it is from, August to May.
Right. But again, where I said a lot of it's being driven by the large number of students that we have that are taking dual enrollment classes at the community college.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have a program in place in the next few years where many of our graduates will graduate high school with their associate's degree.
Right.
Because they'll have taken enough dual enrollment classes to qualify for that degree. So, it's like I said, it's not one factor. It's a lot of factors. It's not set in stone at this point right now. The committee made a recommendation to the board. The board will hear it. We'll take public comment.
Any expectation, Mr. Brad, do you think that this has a serious possibility of coming through, the start date of August 9th?
Tim knows I'm a poker player, so I read people, and I would say based on my understanding of where most board members are, I think it's probably not a high likelihood that it would start that early.
Yeah.
But again, all chips are on the table right now, and people will make their decision based on what they hear in the input. So if you disagree with it, certainly send your input into the board, and that will be heard.
Well, I
think you'll be hearing from people.
We already have gotten a lot of emails.
Yeah.
It's the AP test for how to make Hmong balls. I don't know if you know about that.
Well, Tim, I don't know if you know, I was a professional Hmong baller at the University of Maryland. I got four credits.
Your record still stands, Brad.
The heck are you all talking about?
We're talking about his time at the University of Maryland, Frank.
Hmong balls.
Yeah, Hmong balls.
What's that?
Wet toilet paper, Frank.
Oh, okay. Now I know.
That's your former classmate.
I just learned something new.
Jeff just wanted to throw that in.
Now let me ask you something else that has nothing to do with this. But while we have you on the line, somebody called in earlier giving opinions on this and saying, and I hear this all the time, why so many days for teacher workshop kind of stuff. What is the justification for giving so many days for teachers to plan?
First off, the teacher work days are part of the teacher's contract, which is something that was negotiated many years ago prior to my board service. So they're in their contract, the number of days that they get. They're primarily involved around giving them time at the end of semesters to finish their grades up, time to between semesters to get ready for different things, so and time for professional development. So they were in there for a purpose, and I know it's a pain in the butt and people see them, and we have more of them than some of our neighboring counties. But it's like anything, once something is into a contract, it has to be unnegotiated to get it out. And whenever somebody has to give up something, they want something in return for it, which is usually compensation. And so I don't see that changing anytime soon. And so it's something that we have to deal with. It's in the contract, and that's part of the things that the calendar committee has to deal with, of what are the facts that are there in order to make a schedule. They have to comply with what's in the contract, what's in state law, and then try and craft something that's in the best interest of students.
Do you ever hear about this, air conditioning of the buses?
I do, so we have a lot of buses that are not air-conditioned. To me, Tim, air-conditioning's put the window down.
Right.
I say that in jest. You know, no,
but
days
yeah,
summer.
You're not, I don't know how long people are in the buses, but, I was always...
Yeah. So our longest bus routes for some of our counties can be in excess right over an hour.
Wow.
On the bus. You know, that's not an hour. Some that are my grandson's bus ride 7 minutes, so it's not very far. But we do have kids that are on the bus as much as an hour if they're out in the county and they're waiting, going through a rural route. So it is an issue, and it's something that we have to take into consideration. You know, generally it's not that hot in the morning when they're transported. It's more of an issue on the way home than it is in the morning. It generally doesn't get that hot at 7 o'clock.
Does the board have regrets about not being nicer to the school bus drivers at the end of last year when they went virtual and said no, they were only going to be covered for a period of time? Did you lose bus drivers, or what happened to your bus drivers?
So first off, I would say that we were nice to our bus drivers, and I am the biggest supporter of our bus drivers that there is. Mm-hmm. In the spring, we paid our bus drivers for the whole rest of the calendar year, as well as provided their benefits. It was in the fall that we, we had to say that while we were still virtual, we paid them in the spring of 2020. In the fall, So when the pandemic started, we finished out that school year. We paid them for the fall of that year when we didn't go back. What we did was we laid them off to allow them to apply for enhanced unemployment benefits, but we also continued to carry their insurance rates so that they didn't lose their health insurance. So many of them were actually better off or happy because of that. And in the end, it's not why we have a bus shortage. Shortage of bus drivers today, but more just we're short everywhere. It's food service drivers, teachers. You go out to any restaurant, they're short of help. It's a problem across all sectors right now, but our bus drivers are doing the best job. They're very hardworking people. I have the utmost respect for what they do. Our food service workers are busting their butts trying to do that. I volunteered at Walkersville High School on Monday. I worked the burrito bar. I'm ready if Chipotle calls. I've got good burrito skills.
I believe that.
But they are working very hard, and unfortunately, it's very hard right now to hire them when you're competing with Wawa that's paying $17, $18 an hour, and we're paying some of these positions $13, $14 per hour. It's tough to compete with them. So I would like to see us change and look at many of our positions are benefited, and those benefits are very expensive. And if there are employees that are more worried about focusing in on the salary, then I'd rather see an option where they could say, I don't need the health insurance. I don't want to be in the pension. I'd rather get paid $25 an hour without those things than get paid $15.50 with those things. So I think that's
With the extra millions of dollars that we have, wouldn't that be a great investment?
Well, it is. And we did pay retention bonuses to a lot of our employees. We are paying hiring bonuses now for many of the positions that are in dire need, but unfortunately, there's still not people applying. There's just not that many people out there that are looking for those types of positions. It is a great position for a lot of folks that retire and they need the health insurance. Many of our support employees, that's one of the primary reasons that they work there. But again, there are employees that don't need that. And I think if we could offer a package where we didn't provide that, but became a higher, you know, you check A or B, you want the benefits and so forth are there. But if you don't need them, you can take a higher hourly wage and forgo those benefits because some people don't need them.
Can you take a question from Joe? We have a question for you, Brad, from Joe. Joe, go ahead. Sure. You're on with Brad Young.
Hey, Brad. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Just had a question for you here. A little while ago, you were talking about the teachers and needing this training and such throughout the year, and I'm all for that. I know that you know they have to keep up on things, and there's new methods and ways of doing things throughout the year that they learn about. I was just curious if there's ever been any thought given to anyone after these training sessions, if they would just do like a follow-up, maybe one or two-page bullet point memo out to the parents, just saying, you know, what they learned and how that is going to apply to their teaching moving forward, just so the parents know what's going on with all that.
That is a good idea, and I will take that to the superintendent as a recommendation that we could certainly do that. And we do these also for our support employees. They have a day each year where they do professional development. I've been to that, and they have all kinds of things that they work on there. But, yeah, for our teachers, that's certainly an idea that's worthy of consideration.
Well, I think that also go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, because I think, you know, like I said, we all know that the teachers need all these training sessions and things that they learn, and we're all for that. Right. It's just that we never really hear about what transpires during those, so we're never really sure how that is affecting our kids' learning moving forward.
It's a good recommendation, and I will talk to the superintendent about that.
Also, basically, a justification for that. Check and balance. Why can't they take the growth days in the summertime?
Well, because then you have to pay them for them, and so you know, we contract right now 190 days with our teachers, and if each day that you go beyond that costs about $1 million a day to bring all the teachers in. So we try to do it being budget sensitive to keep it within the days that we have allotted so that we don't have to go outside that and pay additional dollars that we don't necessarily have.
And another question comes to us. Why don't this, has there been any thought given to the safety as far as putting seatbelts in the buses? Is that just a mute subject?
You know, it's a good question, and I've asked that question before, and I've gone to conferences where the bus folks are there, and the safety records speak for themselves. Those buses are pretty sturdy and pretty safe. To my knowledge, we've never had an accident here in Frederick County with any serious injury or fatality. And we have, daily there's some kind of people running into a bus, not daily, once a week or so.
Sure.
But rarely are there injuries that are there, and so the industry thinks the buses are safe without the seatbelt restraints. And, you know, it seems like a good idea to me, but the safety record speaks for itself. It hasn't been an issue.
Right. Well, I question that, but I understand that's where you have to get your answers from the actual, you know, records.
Right.
What's happened in Loudoun County, I don't know if your school board meetings have gotten very intense or exciting. You seem to be able
They've gotten a little more interesting.
Okay. And you all seem to handled well.
Yeah, we had a meeting last night, and we probably had 40 people show up to speak for public comment. Several of them were speaking about wanting us to remove mask mandate. And what I have to say there again is the state is requiring that. We cannot waive that mandate. I would be all for getting rid of it once the state does not require us to do that, but I can't overstep what the state has required us to do. There was another group that were certainly advocating that we shouldn't test or screen athletes that are not vaccinated that are playing sports. And as I've explained there, you know, my interest was getting kids back into activities and back into sports. And if the compromise is that we had to do that, and that got my fourth vote, I was all for that because I want the kids back out there. They're now able to play their sports without masks inside. And so, but what it requires is those that are not vaccinated will be very conveniently given a screening test at the school at no cost to them and very privately so that they can receive their screening and pass the test and move on and be able to play that sport.
The latest thing where the school board had placed the vaccine in the schools for students to take didn't pan out very well, and that program has stopped according to the superintendent, so that was not, I guess the thought was there, but students did not take advantage of it as far as getting the vaccine.
That wasn't getting the vaccine, that was getting tested. We had a program where you could voluntarily get tested, and not many people availed themselves of it, so they stopped that.
Could you also get vaccinated?
We had not been doing vaccines in the school, but that is one thing that actually I work with a charity, Love for Lachlan. They actually have finally gotten approval. We're going to test pilot this year giving flu shots in a few schools, obviously with parental consent and being able to do that. But we find in many of our communities, the school is the safest, cleanest, and most trusted place for them to go to. And so if we can vaccinate them there through parental consent and with an outside person administering it, you know, I don't see why that should be objectionable. And so I am in full support of that. And the more people that we can get to have flu shots, the less people become sick, and it's better for attendance and overall. Now, the other thing that we changed a couple of weeks ago, which you haven't talked about much, is we went against the CDC recommendations, and we lowered our quarantining procedures from only those people being exposed to somebody that's positive without a mask, and that's lowered our amount of students being quarantined by 80%.
Exactly, and that was a smart move.
Far fewer students are being quarantined today than they were just 2 weeks ago.
I also have another question for you. Just a short question. I see the clock there. Brad, I'm just going to invite you to give us a call back later, if you can, maybe tomorrow or the next day. I'd like to schedule a time. Because I have a lot more questions that people want to know, and I don't want to get into the transgender bathroom issue or things like that. That's because it takes more time than it's not fair for you or myself or the caller.
Can I give one quick plug, though?
You may. Tonight. Tonight,
the Career and Technology Center open house is happening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So many wonderful programs going on out there. If you have a middle schooler or ninth grader, even 10th grader, I would highly suggest taking them out there. It's only for high school students, but middle school students should start thinking about it.
Great programs
that are out there where people can get a great skill and make a good living. And so I highly encourage you to take your students out there and see all the great programs.
That would be plant the seed. And one other point you should remark, what happened to Walkersville night on the football field?
The game is tonight, and they moved it to tonight, I guess, because of the forecast of rain, and we don't have a turf field, and so they wanted to get the game on the grass field without the rain, so they moved it tonight, and I will be there after my visit to the Career and Technology Center rooting on the Lions.
Even though
I have grandkids in both Middletown and Walkersville, but right now I live in Walkersville, so I'll be rooting for the Lions this evening.
You can go back and forth like I used to do, on one side and the other, in a halftime.
Yeah, you know, I root for them all to do well.
Yeah.
It's great seeing them out there. And Middletown Walkersville is always a great rivalry. I love my Middletown folk, but it's just great seeing them out there playing.
Thursday Night Lights. Brad Young, member of the Board of Education, thank you for taking time out of your day. We'll talk later.
All right, welcome, Tim.
Thank you.